So, on the spot. So, but he didn't work out that way. So, Joshua chapter number 4, for you that do not come on Wednesday nights or that are in the back on Wednesday nights, we began a series in Joshua and talked about how Canaan land represents the victorious Christian life. And we have not done chapter number 4. Chapter 3 talked about crossing over Jordan. Chapter 3 and 4 both speak about this. And the Lord gets kind of laid it upon my heart, and I know I'm the second half of the message, and pretty much the only thing I have to do is just not mess up because the teens have done so well tonight. But there's just something the Lord gets kind of put on my heart tonight that I think that would be a help and a blessing. The title of tonight's message is "What Mean These Stones?" After the nation of Israel has gone through the Jordan River and God has parted the Jordan River and held back the water. We talked about it on Wednesday night. If you want to hear the story, listen to Wednesday night's message. It's online. But it gets the idea that there was a memorial that Joshua was supposed to make. There's two different memorials that that Joshua makes. The first one is instructed by God. I think the second one probably was instructed by God. It's just not recorded in the Bible. One is actually in the Jordan River, where the priests had been stepping at and holding their, and where God in the middle, where the priests had the ark at. Another one was God had told him to grab each a stone from each of the, one man from each of the tribes to grab a stone and make up a memorial, 12 large stones. And he said, why would they do that? Well, that's the title of the message, is what mean these stones? So let's listen to this for, let's look into this for a little bit. And then I like to, I guess the thought is, what are we teaching the next generation? What are we teaching the next generation? It says in Joshua chapter number 1, let's look in verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. So each a man was supposed to be picked out of every tribe. Verse number 3, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. The rest of the chapter is trying to give, giving a little bit of a description of that. We're going to fast forward to verse number 20. God's given the command to make the memorial. Verse 20 gives us a little bit more explanation when it comes to it. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. That's the spot where they kind of bid, where they stayed at the beginning, kind of became a headquarters as they were conquering Canaan land. It came a spot where this would be a familiar spot for them. Verse 21, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before you, us, until we were gone over. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is so mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our hearts have been blessed already. Lord, our hearts have already been stirred. Just watching the young people serve and realizing that there's not many young people in the world that would stand in front of a group of people dressed the right way and singing your praises and teaching and preaching your word and leading singing and just using your talents for God. But Lord, we're just thankful. Like I said, our hearts are already blessed. Lord, encourage us with this thought. Help us understand this memorial a little bit better. And help us to leave memorials for the generation to come. Lord, I pray that you just speak to people's hearts in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. What mean these stones? I'm not sure if I ever preached a message on this here at Faith Baptist Church or not. But this is something that's been on my heart before. And it's amazing. God does something supernatural here. We talked about it, probably about a 25-mile, 26-mile path that God had put for these 1 to 2 million Israelites that went over Jordan. And it was during flood time. It's probably the Jordan River usually is only about 200 feet wide, but during flood time is over a mile wide. And God just does something supernatural. And he says, I want you to do something. I want each of these, get one man out of the tribe and each of them go where the priests were standing and holding the ark. And I want you to take a stone and I want them to carry it. And they carried it a number of miles. And they said, when you get to the spot where you're going to stay that night in Gilgal, I want you to go ahead and I want you to make a memorial. And the purpose of the memorial is that when your kids walk by and when your kids see that pile of rocks and they ask this question, what mean these stones? I want you to tell them about the faithfulness of God. I want you to teach them about the faithfulness of God. And you say, well, what's, and that's nice. That's, but I want you to think about it a little bit deeper. Who are these people that are crossing the Jordan here? These are the generation that's behind what generation? Two generations behind what generation? The generation that 40 years earlier stood at the same area and was not willing to go into Canaan land. The generation that stood in the same spot and left for their children and their grandchildren the fact that they struggled with faith and was not willing to enter in Canaan land. But now that generation left that taste in their mouth. That generation walked around and their children and their grandchildren spent 40 years in the wilderness watching their fathers and grandfathers die. That was what was left in the generation. And that was what, take your Bibles here in Numbers chapter 14. Lord kind of laid this on my heart that the generation that was before them, what type of picture did they leave to these that are standing on the other side of Jordan? Numbers chapter 14, you have the story in 13 where the 10 spies said the bad things that they saw giants. And actually you can go to the last verse in chapter 13. It says, And there we saw the giants, Numbers 13, 33. There we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come out of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They said, we can't conquer this land. Look at verse number 1. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And that's what ends up happening to them. Verse number 3, now listen to the excuse that they use. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Let's now skip fast forward to verse 31. God responds to them. We're only going to look at one verse in the response. And he says, but your little ones, which ye said, behold, be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. To me, I think it's kind of an interesting study here that you have this generation, the one that God said that they're going to get to go in, and they have the Jordan River. They had the faith to walk through the Jordan River. They had the faith to face their Jordan River. And now they have a memorial that when their children and their grandchildren come by and they see that and they say, what mean these stones? And they can say, this is how God was faithful to us. This is how God dried up the Jordan River. This is how God did all these wonderful things. But then you go back just a generation earlier in that, or two generations earlier in that, what type of example did they leave? Now, don't get me wrong. I know God used them at the Red God. They walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And as I mentioned on Wednesday, they didn't have much choice. You know, the Egyptian army was facing them, chasing after them. But this other group, when they walked through the Jordan River, they followed by faith. They learned from their parents, I believe, learned from their parents and their grandparents' mistakes. I'm sure that they were still worried. I'm sure that they were still scared. I'm sure they still had fear in their heart as they were walking over that Jordan River. But as they saw God break this river open and they walked through this river, they now have a memorial. They have something to leave and say, God helped me. God helped us here because of their faith. And I want to encourage you tonight is to leave something for the next generation that shows that God's helped you, shows that God's worked in your life, shows that God's given you the power. And then don't get me wrong, we're all going to struggle in our faith. We're all going to have problems doing the things that God does for us that we struggle with. There is a ton of things like that. But we can also allow our young people and our generations to come the truth that God helped us have victory. the truth that God allowed these things to happen, and God has overcome. We have overcome with God's help, with God's victory. Go back to Joshua chapter number 4, and we'll close up here real quick in these verses and this thought here. You know, there was a purpose of the memorial. The purpose of the memorial was to remind successive generations of the power and faithfulness and on behalf of faithfulness of God on behalf of his people. The memorial would be an important landmark to those who would come after him. Look what it says in verse 22. It says, "Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, so that the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." Now, I want you to understand, raising up a memorial, in a sense, teaching and letting the next generation the victories that God has given you. I'm not talking about being boasting. Many churches have done that, and they suffer as a result. They have made it that they live in the past, and they embalm idols and the idea of what God has done, and that's all they live in is the past. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living a life that gives your young people and the generations that come an example to follow, that God can help us and that God can make a difference in our life. And God can do something special. So there's a purpose in the memorial. There's also a picture in the memorial. It's interesting to notice that here Joshua shows the picture of God's faithfulness, but also he's dried up, but also in verse 24, there's the purpose behind the memorial shows that not only is he going to teach them, but look what it says in verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know. So if they teach this to their children and their grandchildren, and they go out and they tell people, then all the earth will know what God had done for them. Now, the earth, everybody in the earth, or the majority of the people knew, Rahab knew about God drying up the Red Sea. Rahab knew that what God had done for them. And these people were going to know what God has done for them at the land of Jordan. I guess the biggest encouragement I have for you tonight is, what are we leaving to that next generation? You know, we're encouraged by what they did tonight. I'm thankful. Were they perfect? No, none of us are. But I think they did it out of a sincere, I think they did it out of a heart to want to serve the Lord. And I think they did a wonderful job. And I want to leave a memorial for this and the idea for the generations to come. I want to live a spiritual life, something that they can follow after. Yes, we'll make mistakes. Yes, we may fall, but we get back up. We forgive, like it talks about. We show mercy. We leave an example. And see, that's why I think there's a difference between this generation and the generation that did not leave them an example. I think we can make this in our lives today. Am I leaving a good example? Or is my children, grandchildren, the young people, seeing us live in faith, seeing us have victory, seeing us live a Christian life? Or are they seeing us instead murmur and struggle in our faith like the other people did? There's two generations. They're not that far apart. And it talked about some fathers and sons there. You know, was the sons perfect? No. But they took their step of faith. God built this memorial so that way they can show them. And also the memorial helps remind us too. I think lots of times we write down our problems. Lots of times we write down our complaints. Lots of times we say, this is what I think I'm missing. This is what I think I need. But if we went on this side and we started writing down all the blessings God gives us, all the things that God, times that God has helped us, boy, that is a memorial to him. That's something we can remember. And if we can focus on what God has done for us and what God is able to do for us and how God has helped us before in the past, like it talked about that stone Ebenezer. It talked about in the day in the battle of Samuel, they rose up that stone Ebenezer to be a memorial to that people would see that and remember, God helped me. But I think that my generation, I don't know, I can speak for myself, that I want to have spots in my life where God has helped me and I've seen God work and seen God move, so that way I can tell and help encourage the next generation. I love hearing stories from missionaries and how God has used them and the stories that God has done. And man, they touch my heart. They stir me. And I enjoy that. God helped them. And because of that, God can help me too. And that's what this memorial is. I wonder if we're building up memorials in our Christian life Or are we more like the other generation that is saying, I can't believe God brought me here. I can't believe God made me go through this. And we said, what are we going to do with my children? That's what they said there. They're going to be a prey. Now, God says, the ones that you use as an excuse, the ones you said would be a prey, they're the ones that's going to get to go into Canaan land. Let me leave you with these verses. In Psalm 78, verses 2 through 7, the Bible says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Now listen, it says, we will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Is that what we're doing? Are we showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord? And listen, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he have done. That's what the memorial was supposed to be. A way that we can show the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, and his wonderful work that he have done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known for their children, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might, now listen, that they might set their hope in God. So many times young people today are putting their hope in so many things but God. You know, they're putting hope in their sports career. They're putting hope in a girlfriend or a boyfriend. They're putting hope maybe in their scholastics. They're putting hope in their own talents and their own abilities. But if we will make a big deal of God and demonstrate and show forth the praises of God and his strength and his wonderful works that God has done, if we'll show them the memorials of how God has done and God has worked and God has moved, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to have the hope in themselves. They're going to have hope in God. And that's what we need to show, and that's what we need to teach the next generation, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. See, that other generation that was there and not willing to go up against the giants, and once again, if I was there, I like to think I would have been the Joshua, the Caleb group, but I can't say I would have. But they forgot the works of God. They forgot about the Red Sea. They forgot about the 10 plagues. They forgot about all those things. And because of that, they started blaming and murmuring. And that's what they left in the mind and the imprint of their children, at least for that day when they came to that Jordan. But 40 years later, when their children and their grandchildren were there, yes, they learned. And I'm sure that they learned from the Red Sea. I'm sure that they learned in the 40 years in the wilderness what had happened. And I'm sure that some of the people got right with God. I'm sure some of them, but they had that in their memory, and they're sitting with the same decision. And God says afterwards, we don't want them to have to remember that. We want them to remember what God did. And if we can remember what God does, then people can set their hope in God. Then people can set their faith and their trust in God. What mean these stones? There's some things up in my office. Not a lot of things, but you'll see. If you come to my office, it's not very decorated. Pastor Thompson, wall-to-wall decorations. He had more trinkets than I've ever seen in my life. And that's fine. That's great. And maybe someday he said after 40 years of ministry, you get things, you accumulate things. And he wanted to do the show off as a thankful for everything that was given. There's a few things that decorate my office, not a lot, but many of them have a meaning behind it. Many of them have a little thing that's sitting there someone gave me that meant a difference in my life and helps me to remember to pray. Many of them are things that I've fallen short on. People who have given me something that I wish that maybe I would have handled things a little bit differently. Sometimes they are a memorial, and the idea that I remember, God, thank you for helping me with that person. Thank you for helping me make that decision. And when I see these things, they encourage me. I encourage you to keep a journal. Blessings of God. What God's done for us. He has done so much for us. He has given us so much. He has provided so much. When we ask for confession, when we confess our sins and refer to, he forgives us. He shows us mercy. And there's so much that we have to be thankful for. What are we leaving to the next generation? What are we showing? What are we demonstrating? God does leave us the perfect example. Sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes we could probably do better in that. Sometimes we could let God work in our hearts. Let God do something with your life so you can leave an example for that generation to follow. What did Paul talk about today? Talked about how he was faithful. Talked about how he served consistently. If from day one. He served the Lord. He did it with tears. He did it during times of peril. He did it to whoever was willing to listen. He did it publicly. He did it privately. He did it to the Jew, to the Greek. He did it to everyone. He was faithful. Let's leave that type of testimony. Let's not be a person who we learn from the bad things. I don't want to do that. Let's instead be the example that God desires for us to be to these young people. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.